Well, thank you for having us this morning. Thank you for having me this morning. It was really meant to be Mike Fernandez, but some of you might have heard his wee boy, just a few months old, was taken seriously into hospital, and so he couldn't manage to come. So he asked me, I'm actually part of the action group of Latin Link. I'm also a trustee of Latin Link, so we're visiting the family anyway, up in Thompson, in Great Verna. So it seemed to be providential. I'd like to continue the reading in John chapter 20, where we left off, at verse 19. The narrative, as Phil was saying, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he lives. And that's a message in itself, something that came to me many years ago, that Jesus is alive. So verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness for anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the mark of his nails and the place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but they are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Before turning for a short time to the meditation and the presentation, we'll just bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for yet another reminder of the living Christ and his promise to be with us, as we heard earlier in that other reading in Matthew, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We thank you his presence is with us here in this church this morning, and for the talk we heard amongst the children about all nations worshipping you as far away as Australia and Brazil, all these different nations worshipping you. We thank you, Lord, that your gospel is spread worldwide, and we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us now as we open up your word and as we take in some of the news from Latin Link. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to emphasise, first of all, in John chapter 20, verse 21, where Jesus comes to his disciples for the first time, and then he appears a week later. But in verse 21, he first says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now the disciples, as you know, needed this peace because they were upset, they had fled Christ, they were shut up in a door, hidden away, frightened probably about what's going to happen to them. They certainly needed this peace, and that was his greeting. Although it was a common greeting in that time, I think it was more than that on this occasion. There was more to it than just a common greeting of shalom, as they would say in that part of the world, peace. And so when Jesus said this peace, it helped the disciples. He wanted to give them peace. And that's the first One of the first things I wanted to remind ourselves, we become peaceful once we come to know Christ, because he fills our life, he satisfies our deep desires. And so he gave the disciples this peace. Has he given you this peace? The peace beyond understanding, the peace that gives us access to the Father. So the risen Christ gave them peace, but still today, because he's alive, he's still the one that gives us peace in our own lives through his word, and as we come to know him, a great peace. Even through the times we pass through troubles, there's a peace knowing that Christ is with us. But not only in this passage in John 20 does he see these well-known words, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. The first time he says it, interestingly enough, is in his prayer in John 17, that high priestly prayer, which is so well known to us. He repeats it. Well, he first of all says it there in John 17, verse 18. Again, he says in that prayer, as you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. So Jesus in that prayer is saying, I don't want you as disciples, as Christians, to remain in your ivory towers. And in fact, verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. So as people who have come to know this peace, he's saying to us, I'm sending you just as Jesus has sent me. And it's interesting, one of the things in that passage in John 17, he says, the way that this was going to be achieved, this sending out, was through his word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So the way to communicate peace to people is to bring them to the gospel, because that's the word that will sanctify them. Before praying that he sent them, he prays that they would become holy. That's very important. We can't come and tell others about how Christ can change them if we don't know how Christ has changed us first. We need to become holy. We are called saints because he has made us holy, not because we've done good things, but he has made us holy through, as we read, his death and resurrection. He has made us holy. Having been made holy, he then says to them, I'm sending you into the world in that prayer. So we know that that prayer of John 17, Jesus is focusing on the glory, isn't he? If you remember that well-known prayer, he's focusing on the glory he had with the Father right from the beginning. And he left that glory to be with us. And that's why he was called Jesus. And she will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So he left the glory, and that's why he was called Jesus, because he came into the world. He was sent into the world to save his people from their sins. That was prophesied way back in Isaiah, as you know, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. As we know, that means God with us. And as Phil read earlier, that's how the Great Commission ends. And lo, I am with you always. And Jesus is still promising his presence with us. He is Emmanuel, he is God with us at all times, giving us this peace, even though we at times might have to pass through the valley of death even. So this was Jesus' mission. He was sent into the world, and his name is a clue, because he will save people from their sins. Jesus himself, what was he sent to do? He came, as I said, in his name, he came to save his people from their sins. But you see, in Matthew 4, verse 17, one of the things Jesus did when he was in this world, as he went around preaching, his preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was proclaiming. That word proclaiming is announcing. It's a public declaration so that everyone could hear. A heralding. It's like in the old days, you had open airs. So that's the word so that folk would hear about this risen Jesus and come to repent of their sins. And that was Jesus's, that was first of all, he was sent to do, making this public proclamation that people were to repent of their sins. And Jesus is saying in John 20, verse 21, that we are sent to do the same. That's one of the things that he sends us to do, to ask people to repent from their sins and come to a knowledge of Christ, the risen Christ, so they can come to know him as their Saviour and have that peace that he promises to give his people. In John 1, verse John, we read, this is real love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So that was Jesus being sent. And if you read on into Acts as apostles, for example, Acts 2, verse 38, they obeyed. Peter, as in one of his sermons there, as he was preaching, this is what he said to them: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the disciples obeyed that mission to go out and do what Christ had been sent to do, to announce this repentance of their sins, to people public profess. Nowadays, when we baptize children, they come into the covenant, but at a certain stage, they publicly profess their faith when they come to communion. And that's similar to that, asking people not only to repent, but to publicly proclaim that they know this peace for themselves as they come forward to communion. That's what you're declaring. I know the peace of Christ. And you're proclaiming Christ, and that you've been forgiven for your sins and that you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, interesting, I need to pass on to the second point there, but that wasn't all I believe that Jesus was sent to do. I think there was a dual mission in Jesus. And the second thing was he was sent to do good. For example, Luke 7, verse 20, John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah? Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And the many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. So as you look at Jesus' mission, it wasn't a mission just asking people to repent of their sins. But there he was saying, well, tell John what my practical work was involved. I had compassion on people. For example, the feeding of the 5,000 was a compassion towards these people. In fact, these verses are quotes from two different parts of Isaiah. And they were pointing towards a Messiah. The significance of the Messiah was that he would come to make people whole. That word whole is an interesting word. It wasn't just bringing them into a spiritual relationship, but he was also interested in bringing them from their sickness. And often in the scriptures you'll find that word whole, meaning that Christ was tackling not only bringing their illnesses, conquering their illnesses, but also dealing with their spiritual side. That's what that word, one word whole, means. But also, interesting, if you study Jesus' mission, there's many instances that you read in the New Testament that Jesus went about healing many. And it doesn't say anything about, in these passages, about bringing them to faith. Perhaps there was, but there's nothing there in the text. And that sometimes was a mission for Christ in itself, just helping people, having compassion on people. So what I would like you to think about is, as Jesus says, in that verse 21 here, that he says to the disciples, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. It's the dual function of mission that's important. And that's what Latin Link's involved in. It's an integral mission. Believing that sharing the gospel means addressing both practical and spiritual needs. So It's a kind of shorter message this morning because I want to give some time to show the Latin Link, what they do in connection with this mission. Phil gives some illustrations at the beginning. Well, I felt at home in Lewis recently, because I don't know how long ago it was, a couple of years ago. Our son and his wife and the family, they took us to see alpacas. I don't know where the children are listening, but alpacas come from a different country. They come from a country you don't have a flag for. I'm most disappointed. They come from a country. Now, I don't know if you can count my tie here. I wore it specially. It's a llama, I think, not an alpaca. Because I used to work in Peru many years ago. I think there's somebody here. Also, a couple here who served in Peru as well. And that's how I got interested in Latin Link, having come home from Peru many, many years ago. Can we pass on to the presentation now, if that's okay? Now, you probably can read these things for yourselves, so I'm not going to say much at this point. So, if you don't mind, I can't read that if my glasses off. But it's just telling you about Latin Link and the work it does. I hope you can see some of that print. It's just saying how many different countries they're working in. And they're working mainly a lot of Latin Link countries, Peru, for example, Bolivia, Argentina, Colombia, and so on. Various countries, and also Central America, some of the countries up there, Guatemala and Costa Rica. I won't go through them all, and that's just telling you there about the vastness of the work that they do. Next. And they have this vision, thankfully I've got it black and white here as well. I hope you can read that, these slides. They're a bit demanding from here. So, but the vision is, our vision is to see a vibrant Bible-believing Christian communities in every part of Latin America, impacting their neighbours, their societies and their wider world. That's our vision. And the mission, Latin Link works in partnership with churches. So people that go out, as Phil was explaining, we encourage young people to go out on mission field. And you'll hear in a minute about the different programs, but the work in partnership, when young folk go out there, and not so young, when they go out there to work, and they work alongside churches. And the different communities helping in different areas, street children, training church leaders, and so on. So that's something of the vision and mission. So there's three different programs that Latin Link offer. And at the end, you'll see a couple of things on the table. This is our most recent Latin file, These were the STEP programs this coming in 2022, Guatemala and Argentina. And so if you want to pick up one of them, if you're interested, or just if you want to pray, there's also a prayer calendar for all the missionaries who work in Latin Link. And so the STEP program there is for 3 weeks to 3 months. You go out. I don't know if any of you know Colin Dow, who's the minister of what's now Glasgow City. I think it used to be called St. Vincent Street. Well, his daughter recently went to Argentina, and you'll see a slide of her going. And it's great to have a cross-cultural experience in the Lord's work. It really opens your eyes to how different people worship, how different people come to the Lord. So I'd really encourage you not only to pray about these different countries in Latin America, but to consider prayerfully perhaps the challenge of going on one of these STEP programs where you have an opportunity to live and work alongside Latin Americans. A lot of the STEP teams stay with Peruvian families, or they might stay together. And so there's a great opportunity, especially if you're thinking of studying Spanish, to go over and help in some project that they give. As I said in the short meditation, there's an integral approach of their mission. Latin Link has this integral approach, sharing the gospel and also addressing practical and also the spiritual needs. So that's the STEP program people go over for 3 weeks or up to 3 months. And then the next slide is the STRIDE program. This is for folk who really enjoyed being there, or sometimes they just decide, I don't want to go for 3 weeks or 3 months, I want to go for longer. So STRIDE, as you can guess from its name, is a bit longer. They can spend time longer getting involved. From 6 to 24 months they go over, and as we heard from the children, not only Spanish but Portuguese in Brazil, and they can go over to these various countries and get involved in various work, as you'll hear shortly. I do have a list of all the countries, but I won't go through all that list. I've already named a few of the countries. So it encourages, from my own experience, it encourages you to interact with a different culture, which I still treasure, and it's certainly opened up my eyes to worship and to communicating, and we still miss it, even all these years that have passed. It's still very much part of our lives. And if you're really keen, on the next slide, you can stay. Now, some of you might have heard the name of Manuel and Patty Riaño, and you'll see their slide shortly, I think. They went over for a stay, and they, of course, that's a longer period for a few years. You can go and people who feel called to that kind of work for longer term. We were there for 8 years. Some people were longer than 8 years, especially the first missionaries that went over to Peru and other places. But nowadays it seems to be a lot more short term, and the stay encourages people to stay and do the mission work for longer. So maybe we just move on to the next slide. Thank you. And here's a wee video presentation who somebody did step.
Step was that I was able to build relationships good experience to get you comfortable, and as well as to see how God's working to
kind of just rely on God and rely on each other, like just rely on other Christians.
You notice that last slide there, apply today. some information there. I'm not sure if I can read that from here. Well, maybe just the next slide, please. I mentioned earlier Manuel and Patty of the annual. As many of you know, they were supported by the Free Church for many years in Colombia. And the most recent ministry of Manuel is training and helping pastors. There's a lot of I don't like to say trouble, especially with COVID and terrorism. And other things, there's a lot of anxiety because of these different problems, and Manuel goes around helping these different ministers and those leaders in these difficult situations and gives them help, and Patty's involved as well in different work. And due to the changing of missions, they are now supported not directly from the Free Church, but from people who want to help them. So their finance changed a couple of years ago, if I remember rightly. Manuel's a Free Church minister serving in Colombia, but is dependent on people supporting him. So if I can give a special request to remember them both prayerfully and practically. The best way to do this is to commit to a direct debit. Quite a few folk send donations, one-off donations, which is great and encouraging, but it's more helpful for people to know that they've got ongoing commitment. So do pray about that to see how you can help Manuel and Patty in their continuing work. They haven't been over to Scotland, obviously for COVID reasons and for other reasons, but hopefully we'll see them in the not too distant future. So I just leave that with you, Patty and Manuel, and they are staying. I lost count of how many years they've been there, looking at my wife, but quite a long time now. Manuel's actually from Peru, and Patty's from Colombia. I give a special mention to that couple who are working with LatinLink, LatinLink supported prayerfully. And they're also supported by their sending church. Everyone who goes on a stay mission has to have a sending church, and their church is Buccleuch in Edinburgh. That's their main church that support them. Patty's a therapist and works with LINC, Christian Family Counselling Centre. So do give that a wee special mention for you to remember them in the prayers and in the stressful work that that they're involved in. Okay. So that gets, if we just move on from that one, and we'll play this video. This was a guy called Andrew Wilson.
Hi, and my name's Andrew Robertson.
Robertson.
So I moved to Cochabamba yeah, I'm so glad that I stayed. God gave the opportunity to go to Bamba, and a friend introduced me to the food bank that happens there. So it's the first food bank in Bolivia, and I worked with them, and that meant I could get out and get onto the streets and meet people and serve people. And yeah, it was just amazing to be with this really dynamic team of people around my age and just get to know them. And then in September, once the pandemic was sort of easing off for the first wave, I moved to Santa Cruz and I got a new project there. And yeah, just amazing to be part of a Christian project and to be in a place where I could live and work at the same time. So I moved to a children's home in Santa Cruz. There's around 38 children there. And it was just such a delight to work alongside them and get to know them. And it's such a privilege to know these children and to be their friend, even if it was just for 6 months. But I had two main jobs there. One was looking after horses, which was completely random. I didn't expect that, and there's something I knew nothing about. But it was nice to have that everyday responsibility. And, pretty YouTube, you can learn both things. And the other part of that is to support the children and their daily life, especially in their education. They're all doing online Zoom classes. And it really helped some teenagers, like early teenage girls and boys with their masks and wanted. It was really amazing to work alongside them, just see how hard work they were and see how much more opportunities they had in this children's home compared to where they were living beforehand. And so then after 6 months in the children's home, I had the opportunity to stay in terms of go to Aruba, and I thought it would be a good idea to go to Aruba and get that experience as well. So moved over to Aruba, which is on the other side of the country. Santa Cruz is really hot, it's sort of tropical, whereas Aruba is up on the altiplano and it's in the mountains, it's much drier, people are much more reserved. So it was really cool to see those differences both in the people and in the country. And so I moved to Aruba and I spent my last month, 9 months there working in prisons and with the families of prisoners. COVID restrictions were sort of still in place, so that was a bit tricky. And I get to know those children as well, but we did eventually get to come into the centre and I got to know their families a wee bit. But it was really incredible to get to go into the prisons, to work alongside the prisoners, do like daily devotions with them. And yeah, it was just such a privilege to learn from people, the local people there now, how they were doing things. I'd never been in a prison before, and just lots of new experiences. Taught me so much, and just how easy to be a friend when I was in prison. Like, it's just one of the normal guys, and you could just easily be in their situation. And it was so important to go in there and get to know them. And so I was so thankful to God for COVID in some ways, because I had the different opportunities. I had the opportunity to be in the food bank and go to Bamba, people my age, non-Christians, and then go to the children's home and be with the children day in, day out, and really get to build close relationships with them, even though it was a bit tricky just to be there for a short term. And then it was just incredible to go to Aruba, be that dedicated team, work with children in the angel tree, and then also go into the prisons and get to know those guys. So I'm so thankful to God that he had different plans from my plans, and that he really challenged me to see that I can trust him in every moment, in every circumstance. And COVID was really tough at Bolivia as well. So at one point, I felt like people would be calling me or messaging me regularly to pray for their relatives, somebody was sick with COVID, or somebody running to the hospital, or they were out looking for a hospital bed, there was a shortage of hospital beds, or shortage of oxygen, and then 2 or 3 days later they text again and say, oh, that's my relative has died. And that was really tough, like, to see how fast it was. It wasn't like drawn out for a couple of weeks or months, it was just like you got the news and then a couple of days later they were dead. So I'm really glad in some ways that God put me in Bolivia to be alongside of my existing friends I had before to Bolivia, just to experience COVID from their perspective and just to try and be with them in the same country and know that I was praying for them. It's a wee glimpse into what was in Bolivia, so it was so short, but I didn't want to drag on. But it was incredible that God had such different plans and plans I had. I'm so grateful that he put me in Bolivia at that time, and I learned so much. So I'm so thankful to Latin and for all of you for praying for me and thinking of me. And just thank you so much, and the rest of the day wish you well. Thank you.
So I do encourage you to stay in touch. Do help yourself to these leaflets as you go out. There's STEP team, as I mentioned, that are just coming back, I think, any day now. from Argentina with Catherine Dow. Their steps just finished. And that was Andrew Robertson. Not that right. So many Andy Robertsons I know. Andy Robertson, and he was in Bolivia. Now, if any of you are interested, that's the state teams that are going to take place in 2023, during March to June, in Bolivia or Argentina. So do pray about that. If you can't go yourself, remember those who do go. And also in July and August, the summer step is going to take place. They've still to decide which country. If you do want to stay in touch, those who like searching for things, just search for Latin Link and you'll sure you'll come across their website, latinlink.org.uk. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for those who have heard the call of Jesus to go out as he was sent out, there to be sent out to bring the good news, but also to have compassion on the people, to have this integral mission to go out and bring the gospel in a practical way. We thank you for Manuel and Patty especially. We pray that you would sustain them in their work in Colombia and encourage them as they know that we are praying for them today. And others that we may know who are still in Peru. We think of David McPherson, who's just gone back to work with an organization of San Andres in Moyobamba. We pray that you bless him. And others like Luis Campos, who does such a work through that organization, reaching out to communities. So Lord, we pray that even though we can't go abroad, we can pray for those abroad. And as we learned earlier, we can even be missionaries and here in our own home in the Scotland. As we think of that Scotland flag, how much mission that needs. So Lord, be with us as we have this chance to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.